Now you might be a little confused. We just sang a Christmas song and also not a very familiar one, it sounded like. But we want to keep you on your toes a little bit here as we work our way through February. I'm also about to preach on, and this is the reason for the hymn, I'm about to preach on the Magi visiting baby Jesus. And I realize, of course, that Christmas was almost 2 months ago now. But there's still snow on the ground, and I would guess some of you still have Christmas lights up somewhere around your home, even if you're not turning them on anymore. I'm guessing they're still outside waiting for better weather to be taken down. But I also want to say the reason I'm going to be speaking today on the Magi, I'm beginning a series on Matthew that's going to take us through Easter, so that's part of it. But a historical fact as well in my defense, and that is that the Magi's visit to baby Jesus most likely didn't happen the week after Jesus was born, despite what our modern nativity scenes would like us to imagine. It's very likely that the Magi didn't arrive in Bethlehem for several weeks, maybe even several months, possibly even up to a couple of years after Jesus was born. And so for all you know, this could be perfect timing today that I speak on the Magi's. For all I know, it could be. We just don't know when the Magi arrived to see Jesus. And so we're going to think about it today on the 18th day of February. The truth is that this passage impacts our lives and our faith all year round. It's a passage that deals with themes in our own lives and in our own faith that reach far beyond celebrating Christmas. For one thing, the Magi's visit to Jesus set the stage for Jesus' life and mission. We'll talk a little bit about who the Magi were and whether they were even aware of what they were bringing to Jesus, what they were announcing about Jesus, his life and his mission. That's a question that we can deal with. But this passage also reminds us that the world has always been divided over how people respond to Jesus. And that was true 2,000 years ago when he was first born, and it's still true today that some people aren't pleased that Jesus came into the world. This story also calls us to take a stand. To take a stand publicly as well as in our own hearts over who we believe Jesus really is and the difference that he makes in our lives. And so for all of those reasons, we're going to be reading the story of the Magi today. Jesus' birth was not celebrated in the streets of Jerusalem. And at first, it was as though nobody noticed that the Savior had been born except for those shepherds outside of Bethlehem, but eventually word got out that someone important had been born, and people in positions of power and authority weren't really sure what to make of this. So listen to what happened. This is in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star when it rose and have come here to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is one of the most unusual and fascinating stories in the Bible. It raises all sorts of questions for us, like, who were the Magi? What was the star that they saw in the sky? Why was Herod so upset about a baby being born in Bethlehem? And what about those strange gifts that were given to a little baby? So we're going to deal with some of those questions. This is also, though, a profound story. It's a powerful story that teaches us that Jesus is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior that people long ago had been waiting for and watching for. He was the fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. And He is still the one who wise people seek after. He is the Savior. Now, as I said, we don't know the exact timing of this story. Mary and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem for the census, and we always read that story as we lead up to Christmas, how the Romans had ordered a census of the entire empire, and so everyone had to return to their ancestral town, and so for Joseph, that meant Bethlehem. And so Mary and Joseph traveled there to Bethlehem. Mary, of course, was about to give birth, and they arrived in Bethlehem. And again, we know the story. They arrived there, and there was no place for them to stay because all these other people had also come to Bethlehem for the census. And so Jesus was born outside of town in a stable, we imagine, because there was no room in the inn. But now some time has passed, apparently. And Mary and Joseph are now staying in, living in a home. Maybe it was one of Joseph's relatives. Maybe because they had a child, other relatives who got there before them had a place to stay. Maybe they've now gone back to their place, and because Mary and Joseph have this little baby, they don't want to travel, and so they find their way into the home of one of Joseph's relatives. Or maybe they were able to rent a home. Maybe they even thought, we're going to stay here in Bethlehem. This is a nice place to raise a family. And so they found a home to stay in. It was certainly sometime after Jesus was born, maybe a few months, maybe up to a couple of years. And we know that based on the story that we're going to read next week about Herod's response to all of this. But one way or another, one day, the Magi knock on their door. And Mary and Joseph open the door, and there are these wise men, these Magi. The Bible doesn't actually tell us much about them. In fact, it doesn't even say that there were three of them. There's a lot of legends that have grown up around the Magi, but the Bible says very little about them. In fact, it's only this passage that we just read, and so if you want biblical evidence for who these people are, then we just read what you can find out. But what we can piece together from other historical records is that these people were from the East, and they were known as Magi. That's actually the transliteration of the word from Greek that means something like astrologers, astronomers. It's actually the word, you can probably figure this out on your own, is where we get the word magic from. Right, they were Magi. They were magicians in that sense. Maybe not like David Copperfield magicians, but they were people who did their own form of artistic expression based on reading the stars in the sky, somewhere between astronomy and astrology, something like science, something like things that maybe the Bible isn't so fond of. But they were Eastern mystical people who came on this occasion because they saw a star rise in the sky. What we know about them from Scripture is this, that God used them to help announce the birth of the Messiah. Now that is not a biblical endorsement of whatever sort of magical arts they practiced. The Bible doesn't say anything about that in connection to these particular people. But we do know that they saw a star rise in the sky, and they followed that star, knowing that it had special significance for the people of Israel. So then we come to the question of what was the star that they saw in the sky? Maybe it was a comet. Maybe it was a supernova. Maybe it was an asteroid that happened to fall to Earth over and over again, or around the Earth, and it appeared in the sky over that one particular place. Maybe it was an unusual alignment of planets, or maybe it was a completely supernatural phenomenon that appeared not so much out in the universe, but literally in the night sky there above Bethlehem. However you imagine what that star was, somehow the Magi, when they saw it, understood that it signaled the birth of someone important among the people of Israel. And so they went to see who that person might be who had been born. What we learn from the Magi and from the star, as little real information as we have about them, what we learn from them is that God announced Jesus' birth to the world. That God announced Jesus' birth. Now, Jesus was not born to great fanfare or royal welcome. As far as we know, nobody in Jerusalem heard about Jesus until the Magi showed up. Bethlehem was a small town several miles away. As far as we know, word did not spread beyond what the shepherds told after they had seen the angels in the night, that first night when Jesus was born. Now, I don't follow this sort of news very closely today, but I believe that I've seen headlines that one of the Kardashians just had a baby. Is this true? If you follow Twitter or National Enquirer headlines, that was not the case for Jesus. If Jesus had been born today, it wouldn't have been on Twitter. It wouldn't have been in the national media. Nobody would have put pictures up online because nobody would have known that Jesus had been born, other than a few humble shepherds and his own family. And then these Magi who came from the east following a star in the sky. Jesus was born in humble surroundings. He was born into a poor family. In fact, he was born at a time and a place where nobody even made room for him. No one prepared for him coming into the world. But God wanted the world to know about his son. And so first, God sent prophets ahead of time and announced to his people, one day the Savior is going to be born. And God told them how the Savior would be born, that he would be born to a virgin mother. God foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem. This is where the Messiah would come into the world, in this little town where, it turns out, was also the hometown of King David, the greatest king that Israel had ever known up until Jesus' birth. So God prepared his people that one day this child would come into the world. And then when Jesus was born, God sent angels to announce his birth to the shepherds. And God also placed this beautiful image, this star, in the night sky. And God spread his word about the birth of his son in the way that God chose, not through the media, not through the royal heralds who would go out in Jerusalem. But God did it in his own way, according to his own plan. And that is still true today. The good news of Jesus Christ, the news that the Savior has come into the world, the news that God has provided for the people who would call on his name, that news is still announced according to God's plan. And it's announced not so much through the media or through royal proclamations, but it's announced through people like you and me. The ordinary people of the church, the ordinary people who follow Jesus and whose lives have been transformed by Him, now we are the ones who share that news and go and tell the world that the Savior has come. The star is no longer visible in the night sky over Bethlehem. God does not announce Jesus' birth in that way anymore. But everywhere that Jesus' followers go, the news of the Savior's coming is announced. Now the light of God's goodness shines forth from people like you and me. That God loves the world so much that He sent His own Son into the world, that anyone who comes to Him in faith will be born again and find new life. Jesus' birth was announced by God with a star in the sky, but now we spread the word. Now we spread the word about Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, we read that we shine like stars in the sky as we share the good news of Jesus. Jesus Himself said that His followers would bring light into darkness, that we will shine as testimony about Him to the people around us. And so we now become like that star over Bethlehem. Our mission is to continue what God started, to spread the word of God's love and grace, to call people to find the Savior. The star in the sky over Bethlehem announced the greatest news the world had ever heard. And now we join in spreading that word, as we love people and as we tell the story of Jesus Christ. So the Magi saw that star and they went and they wanted to find out who had been born. They wanted to honor this new born king. But when they went to speak with King Herod, Herod didn't share their enthusiasm. And so we need to think a little bit about Herod now, who is the other important character in this story, and we're going to follow up with Herod next week as well as we continue in Matthew chapter 2. Herod, you need to understand, was a powerful man. Herod was also a cruel and jealous man. The truth is that Herod was not really a king. Herod was what we might call a puppet ruler, set up by the Roman Empire to sort of rule on behalf of Caesar over his own people. Herod was of Jewish descent, and so it was this was sort of common practice for the Roman Empire that they would allow someone within the indigenous population to rule over their own people on behalf of Caesar. And so Herod was called a king, but Herod was not in any way a king. He was not related to the kingly line of the Jewish people. He was not someone who had ultimate authority and power over those he tried to rule. Herod had a facade of power. He had fake power. And yet Herod liked the power that he tried to wield over the people under him. And so when he heard from the Magi about this star and what it might mean, Herod called for an investigation. Find out where the Messiah is going to be born. Find out who this new baby is and if I need to be concerned about him. And so the scholars came back to Herod and they pointed him to Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that says that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, which the Magi, I'm sure, filled in King Herod. Yeah, that's right where the star is over Bethlehem. And that's why we've come, because the Magi apparently had also read the Old Testament scriptures, and they understood the connection. They made the connection before Herod did, that this star pointed to the birth of the Messiah. Herod was not about to let a little baby become king and threaten his grip on the power that he clung to. And so he sent the Magi to go find the baby and then report back, as Herod said, that I too may go and worship him, which of course was a lie to cover over Herod's true intentions. Herod was a lowly villain. He was a cruel tyrant. Herod did many horrible things that are recorded in other sources outside the Bible about all the terrible things that he did, but none were worse than this. Herod conspired to kill the Messiah. And again, next week we'll continue this story and we'll read about what Herod tried to do to get rid of Jesus. Herod, like many powerful people, feared losing his power. He feared that people would turn to a new ruler and give their allegiance, give their submission to someone other than himself. And Herod didn't want any part of that. The truth is that he was right to be worried about his power. The Messiah had been born. The king, the true king, had been born. And Herod's paper crown wouldn't last much longer. But the truth also is that Jesus didn't come to take Herod's crown, that false crown that had very little power behind it anyway. No, Jesus came to be Lord and Savior of the entire world. If anyone should have been nervous when Jesus was born, it was Caesar. But I'm sure Caesar didn't hear anything about Jesus for years and years. The truth is that Jesus is the Messiah, the true King. And that must have been hard for the Magi to fathom as they arrived there and they saw this little child, however old he was, maybe even a couple of years old, but there in his mother's arms as they looked at Jesus. I'm sure they couldn't understand how this child could truly be the King of Kings. And yet that's why Jesus was born. We know the whole story about Jesus. We know the story from beginning to end about why he was born and how he grew up. We know that he healed people and he taught and he loved people and he confronted the authorities that were oppressing the people of his day. We know how Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. We know how Jesus rose again to new life. And we know that Jesus alone deserves our obedience and our love and the honor that we can bring him. And so we follow Jesus as our King. We follow him as King. And that's a big statement. We read in the Bible about kings, King Herod. You think about Caesar, kind of a king or an emperor. None of us, I imagine, have ever lived under a king or under a queen. You see, kings have to be obeyed. Kings have to be honored. Kings have to be served. They hold ultimate power. If you don't obey the king can exact punishment on you however the king chooses. See, the truth is we probably wouldn't like to live under an earthly kingdom. If we were suddenly in a kingdom, we would probably call it a dictatorship because we would lose a lot of the freedom, a lot of the liberty that we enjoy in our nation. Kings don't stand for that sort of thing. And yet, we gladly bow our knees to Jesus, who is our King. We serve him. We obey him. We honor and worship him. And we're willing to do this. We are glad to call Jesus our King because he is a good king. He is a king who loves his people. He rules over our lives with compassion and with wisdom. The star led the Magi to the house where Mary and Joseph were staying, and it says that when the Magi entered, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. We celebrate Jesus' birth with Christmas songs and Christmas trees and lights and Christmas gifts. But how often do we bow down in worship? How often do we declare with our actions and our words, Jesus is my King, and I need to obey everything that He says, and I need to honor Him with everything that I do in my life. And there can't be any part of who I am that doesn't submit to Jesus' rule over my life. As they worshiped Him, the Magi presented Jesus with gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these gifts were special. They were meaningful. And we need to think a little bit about the meaning behind these gifts, because they call us to a life of devotion as we follow Jesus. The gold symbolized kingly wealth. You give gold to someone in ancient culture to lift them up as someone worthy of your devotion. Kingly wealth. The incense, or the frankincense, that was brought to Jesus stood for priestly worship. Incense was used in ancient cultures, just as it is in some Christian churches even today, incense to fill the air with fragrance as a way to sort of symbolize the Spirit of God being all around us in the air. And so that fragrance of worship, it stands for priestly worship. And then there's myrrh, and we probably don't know in our day, in our culture, what myrrh is, but it was a spice that was used to prepare a body for burial. So the Magi's gifts revealed Jesus' identity as well as His mission. And we want to think about that just a little bit. Gold tells us that Jesus is our true King, that He deserves wealth and honor, but also that He holds over our lives power and authority. And so we humbly submit ourselves to Jesus' reign over our lives. The incense that the Magi brought tells us that Jesus is our true priest. And we don't think about priests a lot in our walk of faith, but in the Old Testament, and even in Jesus' time, there were still priests who served at the temple. And the role of the priest was to stand between God's people and God, to be a mediator, to be the one who would pray on behalf of God's people, to be the one who would offer sacrifices on behalf of God's people. And so if an ordinary person like one of us wanted to get close to God, back in Old Testament times, that was done through the ministry of the priests. And so Jesus came as that one true and final priest, that one true mediator that now stands between us and God. So now you don't have to go through me. I'm not a priest. You don't have to go to any other person if you want to pray or lift yourself up before God. If you need to bring your needs before God, you can go directly to God through Jesus Christ, because He came to be that true priest for us. When He died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn in two, symbolizing that division that kept ordinary people away from God's presence. Now that curtain is torn, and we can go directly to God, because Jesus alone is that mediator who opens the way so that we can know and love God. And then there's the myrrh. The Magi brought to this little baby there in his mother's arms these spices that were used to prepare a body for burial. The myrrh tells us that Jesus is our true Savior, that He came to die to take away the sins of the world. And through His death, you and I are saved from our sins. And through His resurrection, we find new and everlasting life. And so the Magi's gifts show us something special about Jesus. And that is that we worship Him as our King, as our priest, and as our Savior. He was born to offer new life to all of us. He was born to bring the good news that God loves you. He was born so that we could have new life in His name. Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He has opened the way for us to know and love God forever. He died and rose again to set us free. And so we celebrate Him today. Not just at Christmas, but we celebrate Him all year round as we commit our hearts to love and to serve Him. And as we commit our hearts to doing what the Magi did, and that is to point the way so that others can find the Savior. That is our calling and our mission as we seek to love and follow our Savior. So let's bow our heads and commit our hearts to following the Savior today. Lord, we do give You thanks for Your love for us. We thank You that Jesus was born, that the star was there in the sky above Bethlehem, leading people to find the Savior. We thank You, Lord, for the Magi, whether they fully understood who Jesus was, but Lord, You used them. You used them to declare that Jesus is King and priest and Savior. And so, Father, we worship You now. And we give You thanks for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Lord, help us to follow Him, to obey Him. Help us to give our lives in full submission to our King and to rejoice that we have found the Savior, the One who died and rose again, taking away our sins and giving us everlasting life. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, and I pray that You would help us to show the world around us, to be that light shining forth like a star in the sky, to be that light that reflects the light of Christ, so that others can come to know that He is the Savior. We ask these things in His name. Amen.